Hi, glad to be here to tell you a little bit about this fantastic museum.
The mission of the Allegheny-Kiske Valley Historical Society and Heritage Museum is to interpret, preserve, and celebrate the cultural, industrial, and ethnic heritage of the Allegheny and Kiskaminetus River Valleys in southwestern Pennsylvania. You are listening to a production of the Social Voice Podcast Network.
You know, we need the smaller organizations to keep that history alive and going, and we need the community members
to continue to support that, or else years from now, it's not going to exist.
What is history?
Local history seems to be a straightforward idea.
Yeah, that's a kind of an interesting science story.
Thank you for having me on the podcast. This is one that I definitely enjoy that dives into local history.
What is history?
It's the history of a small, well-defined area.
History is his story.
And it's also her story.
It is an account of past events in sequence of time.
The people.
The places.
And the events in all of our lives.
It was very interesting and really brought history to life.
I'm Kevin Farkas, executive producer of the Social Voice Project. Joining us today is Jim Thomas. He is the president of the museum for the third time, Jim.
At least.
We welcome you here to talk about the museum and the Historical Society.
Hi, glad to be here.
Now, Jim, this is an amazing building. Everybody who walks in here says, whoa, look at this blue glass. So why don't we just start right there with this cobalt blue glass that's in the main room of the museum. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's where we're sitting right now in this. We have the 20-foot high walls of blue cobalt mirror glass. And it's got the insignias from World War II on there.
Now, this is called the grand room?
We call it the ballroom. Okay. And it has these 20-foot high ceilings. And the room is covered on all four walls with blue cobalt mirror glass.
And where did this come from?
This was contributed by Pittsburgh Plate Glass. They had a plant in Ford City that made architectural glass, and that's where all this was made. And it has World War II insignias on it. It has the American Legion emblem on it.
But this building dates prior to World War II, correct?
This building was built by the World War I veterans, 1931. After World War II, when the guys were coming back, they wanted to do something special. That's when the glass walls were installed in this room. They called it the Hall of Reflections at the time.
But is there some sort of symbolism in that, you know, Hall of Reflections, like to reflect on the war experience or something like that?
I imagine that's what it would be.
Oh, it's interesting. Well, it's very stunning, and it's just a beautiful place. And, I mean, people do comment on it right away when they walk in here. Now, this building, what year was it built?
It was built in 1931. That's when Art Deco buildings were being put up. This was limestone and Art Deco style. It was done by an architect, Pittsburgh architect, Press Dowler. He had done another building in Tarentum here. The school, Grandview School, up on top of the hill. Very impressive building.
Now, give us a sense of what Tarentum was like in 1931. Now, you're a young man, Jim, so I don't expect you to know that. But, you know, in a historical sense, what was happening here in 1931?
That's what we're figuring out. Tarentum celebrating their 175th anniversary. And it's a very impressive town. They have a lot of things that are still going for them. Some of the buildings that got too old were readapted for other things, like the YMCA in town. They built another YMCA up in Natrona Heights. So this building was available for other uses. And Gatto, Cycle.
The Harley-Davidson.
Harley-Davidson's, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's become probably the largest Harley-Davidson dealer in western Pennsylvania. That's his main building there. So he readapted that building to for cycle sales. There's some impressive schools And they've been readapted for other things. Like a couple of them are senior homes. One down on, I think it's Second Ward down there, built in 1892. There's a medical clinic in there now. And people that did that did a beautiful job. It's a real asset to the town.
So repurposing these old, wonderful, beautiful buildings, pretty common in smaller towns to do. And what do you do with a large, beautiful building like this? How did the Historical Society come to be here?
Yeah, this got repurposed here. This was an American Legion building until about 51 years ago. This was post-85. They could not get a liquor license here because we're too close to a church. So most of these World War I, World War II vets were going to Brackenridge to get their beer. So this lost popularity, and they decided to close it. And there was a historical society being formed in town by a newspaper. It was edited mostly by John Gibson, the newspaper reporter. And ended up, the historical society was given the building. So we got this huge building, beautiful building, gratis.
Wow, just free.
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
We have to maintain it, though. Yeah, you know, we spent some money maintaining this.
And I know you did a recent renovation project here that was very significant. I'd like to talk about that in just a moment. But what condition was this building in when the Historical Society took it over?
Well, it was in great condition.
Oh, it was in good condition? Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Were there any major renovations that were done immediately to the building?
No, none that I know of.
Well, let's talk about what just happened recently with the renovations.
Well, there were wooden window frames. You know, we have these 10 huge windows on this main level. And the window frames that were put in 1931, a couple of years ago, were getting kind of beat up. We were painting over things that I needed replaced, 10 of them, $10,000 per window.
Wow.
And we were able to restore, make them look exactly like they did originally. This time, instead of being made out of wood, they're made out of Alcoa aluminum, PPG paint on them, PPG glass with PPG coating on them. So it's all local stuff. It was done by, you know, a Pittsburgh company.
That is terrific. And these are nearly floor-to-ceiling windows.
They're very impressive windows. And
now, was it a mandate that you had to preserve the look of the building?
No.
No, you...
No, we just wanted to, you know, maintain that look. It's a nice look. That's what Press Dowler had in mind when he designed the building, and we just wanted to keep that same look.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's important. As an historical society, you definitely are sensitive to that.
And then just last year, and it was right over the entrance doorway, we had a problem. There was one of the steel lintels up there. It looked like it was getting rusty. So we had to have that replaced. And it cost us $12,000 to do it.
Yeah.
But we did that, you know, without any grants. The window thing, we did get a grant. We got an $85,000 grant from Allegheny County. We were fortunate there. The city manager of Tarentum knew this grant that was available, and he lined it up for us.
Well, it certainly helps to know people, huh? That's awesome.
It's great when somebody knows you need something, and they want to help you.
Sure. And certainly the community contributes as well. You know, people come, they support the museum here, which is very important for any historical society, especially the smaller ones that we have in almost every community around. There's a small little historical society that could be a little house or a larger building like this. Talk a little bit about the community's involvement here with the museum.
Okay, we originally started out, you know, 51 years ago as the Allegheny-Kiske Valley Historical Society, and it covered the areas from Apollo, you know, include Vandergrift, Leechburg, Freeport, then down the Allegheny River, Springdale, Oakmont. And over the years, each one of these little towns wanted to make their own historical society. Apollo has a great historical society, so they're not involved with us so much anymore. They acknowledge that we're here, you know. that's about it. Vandergrift is a wonderful historical society. We helped them get started, actually.
But you are the sort of really the granddaddy historical society in the area, correct?
Right.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And Leechburg has their historical society. And everybody's, they're all local now. So we're left with New Kensington, Arnold, Lower Borough, Trenum, Natrona Heights. But they're not all united either. New Kensington wants to do their own thing. Lower Borough wants to do their own thing.
Right. On one hand, I mean, that's understandable. People in communities, they draw those boundaries, and that's what unites them.
The buildings in Tarentum, it's the Tarentum Historical Society, the Tarentum Museum. No, it's not. It's still the Allegheny-Kissimmee Valley.
How many visitors do you get a year?
We get a lot of people when we have programs. If we don't have programs, we don't get a lot of people. If we have a special display, we get a lot of people. If we wouldn't do either one of those things, we'd only have a couple people a week coming in. Mm-hmm.
And when someone comes, they can take a tour of the museum?
Oh, we give them a tour, yeah, and show them around. They're very impressed with it.
In your experience, what do people find most fascinating, other than the blue glass we talked about here? But what do they find very fascinating about the museum here? I can tell you personally, downstairs in the 19th century village, now that's really fascinating to me. But what's your reaction?
Yeah, everybody has different things. I'm most impressed with the things like the Alcoa room that we have here that tells the history of aluminum in the world, actually. New Kensington was the first place aluminum was manufactured. And we have a whole room dedicated to products made at Alcoa and telling the Alcoa story. This room with PPG, which started right down the river here in Creighton in 1883. We even have an architect's model of the PPG building that is downtown Pittsburgh. It was the glass for that was made up at Ford City. And architect, Philip Johnson, wanted to see what it looked like in three dimensions with all this glass. So they made a model about 5 foot high, beautiful model. And they had it down in Pittsburgh for a while and didn't have a reason to keep it, they felt. So they wanted to know if we would like to have it. And it fits perfectly in here.
The museum here was actually a favorite of Eddie Adams, the famed Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer who grew up in this area here. He's from across the river in New Kensington, right?
Right. He worked at the New Kensington Dispatch in New Kensington. And then New Kensington Dispatch was bought up by the Valley Daily News. Eddie Adams became famous, when he went to New York and went to Vietnam, went to all these different wars. He covered 13 different wars. He always liked to come back home. He came back home every year. He would come to the Italian picnic. I knew him slightly. He had a traveling show back in 1987, traveling photo exhibit, because he was working for Parade magazine at the time, and Parade was sponsoring it. So I got that exhibit here, and he loved that we did this for him. And he stuck pretty close with us after that, after 87. And after he died, his widow, I was always after his widow to get some things about his early life that we could use for, the museum displays and exhibits. And one day she called me and says, hey, I get these 21 photos back from France. They were in an exhibit over there. I don't know what to do with them. I think you guys could use them.
Wow.
And I said, I'll be right there. And I do bus trips to New York, take groups. So we dropped the group off in Little Italy, took the bus over there to where she lived as a studio. We blocked traffic because the streets are so narrow. That bus blocked the whole street. We got all those pictures and brought them back here. And every June, we bring them out during Eddie Adams Month. And a few years ago, we started a camera club with a couple guys from New Kensington. It was here for a couple years, then they floated off to be to do their own thing in New Kensington. They're doing well now. They got the New Kensington Art Center, so they have artists and photographers, and they celebrate Eddie Adams every June also.
His wife, Alyssa, comes here frequently.
She's always come for the for that Eddie Adams week thing. And we always had a dinner at the Hillcrest Country Club. And things are going on here. And last year there was things going on in New Kensington also.
So plenty of things for people in the area to do around the historical societies and these museums. That's a good thing, right? That's a great thing.
That's a great thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Jim, give me your philosophy on local history. How important is it to preserve, to save, to share with the public?
These stories get lost so quickly. In less than a generation, people forget. The things I grew up with, people that are 10 years younger than me don't know anything about. And so we want to, you know, record some of that stuff and keep it here. We've been going now for like 175 years in Tarentum, and nobody knows what was going on back then except some little bit of stuff that we've gathered up here. We have some great photographs from 1906 here. We have 600 glass negatives that a local photographer made in 1906 going around with his big camera. And when he died, his family donated the camera and tripod and those 600 glass negatives. And I printed a dozen of them here for the 175th anniversary. But I'd like to get more. That's one of the things we haven't done yet. I want to scan all those things, or have them scanned, to get a grant to scan them all, put them online, and print a bunch of them out, the ones that are relevant to the area.
So much work to be done, right? So much
work.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Just,
and you welcome volunteers to come help with the museum?
I'd like to have more volunteers, yeah. This has become an all-volunteer museum. We have no paid people here. It's all volunteers. We're looking for people that know a little bit, possibly. And we also are getting kids right out of high school. They're studying history in college, and they want to learn how to what goes on in a museum. So,
well, it's a great opportunity for some hands-on work, some hands-on practice and curating, you know, these wonderful treasures that we have here. So I wish you all the best in getting, you know, volunteers in here. And, you know, with the podcast here, we're trying to promote the museum here and what you have here in the collections and the interesting stories that you have as our way, as the Social Voice Project's way of, you know, giving back to the community and fostering your mission as well as our mission. But we're also looking for somebody who would be interested in sponsoring or underwriting this podcast to help this effort continue to bring out the stories and celebrate and promote, you know, the activities that are going on here at the Historical Society. Thanks for joining us today. Our guest was Jim Thomas, president of the Historical Society here. And join us next time. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on our Facebook page. Go to the website and you'll be able to link up with us.
You are listening to a production of the Social Voice Podcast Network.